Are there any objections to that? Seeing no objections, I move to approve the minutes by unanimous consent. And now we have our guest speaker, President Frank Wu.
All right, good afternoon. Many thanks to your chair, Professor Plummer. You know, every year in his class, with his students, he makes stone tools. And he's invited me, I'm going to make a little dagger. A full knife? Okay, good.
No, they're flakes.
They're flakes, okay.
They're just flakes. You're going to knock flakes off a rock and use them to cut
out. All right, you don't hear that? I'm going to knock flakes off a rock and make a little flaky knife. So, yeah. Looking forward to that. All right, we do have some PowerPoint slides, some people are still coming in. I think you're supposed to check in, but Kat is in charge of that. And look at these fabulous new view books, Undergraduate and Graduate, the work of Jay Hershenson of Communications and Marketing, along with our new Assistant Vice President, Vivek Upadhyay. They look fabulous. Please, they're for you to take. And take two if you want. Give one to a neighbor, a cousin, someone who might someday attend Queen's College. All right, I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes. I'm happy to take Q&A. It's always a pleasure to visit with the Senate. It's so important to do that. You are one of the organs of shared governance here. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it last time. I had a donor visit out in Los Angeles. Part of my responsibility is to go out and see elected officials and alumni and other supporters to ensure that they continue to contribute as generously as they do. You might not know it, but I see in the front row your parliamentarian. This room is the Fields Room, named for him because he has done so much, not just for Queens College, but for the CUNY system, and in particular the law school. And so we recognize our donors in that way. I just wanted to explain where I was the last time you had a meeting. We have many successful alumni out in Southern California. It was just a pleasure to see them. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a few of the latest developments, and then I'm happy to take questions about anything I've discussed or anything that I haven't. And no questions off limits. If there's anything that you've been waiting to ask me, you can go ahead, and I'll do my level best to give you an honest and straightforward answer. There are some things I always explain that I just can't talk about because it's not appropriate. I can't talk about legal issues or HR or a particular student's grade or anything like that. But if it's about the policies here or any issue that's on your mind, feel free to raise that during the Q&A. All right, so let me start here. You know, we are evaluated by everyone. And we actually have our accreditation site visit. That's the most important because you have to be accredited to stay in business for the students to receive loans. That will happen in the spring. And some of these rankings, you know, sometimes you might have some questions about them, and there are some institutions out there who cheat, or even if they're not cheating, they do some things that you might look askance at. And what I've always said is we will only do what's right and good by our students. We're not just going to chase after the rankings. We want to be the best Queens College we can be. And there's a specific ranking that I care about, and I want to share with you. This is why I'm here, because this is what matters, the entire City University of New York system. Different formulas call it something different. It's return on investment, bang for your buck, social mobility. But these are ways to measure where are you when you're coming in as a first-year student or transfer. And then where do you end up in terms of your earning potential, your starting salary, and then later in life? We rank in the top 10. I don't mean for the city. I don't mean for the state. I mean for the entire United States of America, this great nation of ours. So we've given you a few of these examples. Don't take my word for it. Everything from the Wall Street Journal to Forbes to Fortune to Princeton Review to, yes, U.S. News, which is the one that almost everyone looks at, number 6, number 8, number 8, a best college grade Princeton Review for 34 years in a row, and number 8 for what they call social mobility. That U.S. News one is looking at the regional universities in the Northeast, and we always want to be in the good company of our sister CUNY institutions. This is how you know your time here is well spent. For those of you who are students here, your lot in life will improve. And that's who we attract. Honest, hardworking, smart, strivers. I bet none of us in this room, including faculty and staff, including me, came from privilege. But this is how we move up in the world. And helped by so many new leaders. As many as possible, student-facing. That's what's most important. We need those who help students. And I have already mentioned him, but I want to point out, seated right in the second row, Vivek Upadhyay, a graduate of Queens College, a son of immigrants, grew up near Booth Memorial Hospital, and has been teaching here for 25 years, came just 3-4 months ago. He was over at CUNY Central, and when we hired him, one of his references said to me, if you bring on Vivek, you won't have enrollment problems. So we're thrilled that he's here. We've just given you a look at some of the others, all right? So these are some of the new leaders here, and our new faculty distinguished professors. That's the highest rank that CUNY has. And we have three. You have to work a lifetime for this honor. And CUNY strictly limits how many there are. You have to be voted on by your peers, voted on by me, and then ultimately by the CUNY Central Office and the Board of Trustees. Kimiko Han in poetry, Michael Merkin, who's a biochemist, and Yoko Nomura, who's a psychologist. This also shows different disciplines. We are strong across the board. It's fantastic to see this. Kimiko was just named the Poet Laureate of New York State. Michael Merkin is having his brand new lab built out. It's going to be spectacular. And Yoko Nomura has been in the news all the time for her research on prenatal stress. Academic Affairs is, of course, the heart of the institution, and we are partnering now. So it's so important that we do this. We have the Better Neighbors Initiative. We're partnering with our sister two-year schools, LaGuardia and Queensborough. Many of you in this room likely are transfers from those institutions. It's between 40 and 60%. We want to get it back up to at least 50% because we know, by the way, transfer students succeed. And that's why we were able, with your help, to change the a residency requirement to get the degree and to get honors here. We have a brand new transfer hub. If you haven't seen it, take a look in the basement of Freeze Hall. It is being used every day. It's standing room only. Fantastic to see that. Now, I already mentioned Middle States. This is crucial. Just very briefly, every institution of higher education in the entire nation that's legitimate has to be accredited. That's what it means to be a real college. It means that these accrediting authorities, they're nonprofits, they send teams out of other people at schools just like Queens College, and they write this giant report. We have an associate provost, Rebecca Chow, who's leading this effort, but she always does a quiz. Some of you have seen this quiz. She asks, who is responsible for accreditation? President? The provost? Is it her as associate provost? And she always has a slide, it's sort of a trick slide of the picture that shows everyone. The answer is everyone. We all play a role. You're going to see them here March 22nd and 25th. Just wanted to make sure you're aware. And people have been hard at work for a couple of years already on Middle States. That's the name of the organization. They cover the mid-Atlantic part of the United States. That's why they're called Middle States or MSCHE. That's the Middle States Commission on Higher Education. We're coming in March. So I start by explaining where I've been. I go out and about. Last week I was in Washington, D.C. We have a great alumni reception there. We have so many alums, some of them holding high government office and doing other great things in D.C. The Advancement Office, led by Lori Dorf, has raised record amounts of money, and it's under the most difficult circumstances. The one that you've heard about is by a fellow named Frank Yu. So that's me with one letter different and about $1 billion difference, okay? Frank Yu endowed the deanship of the business school. He graduated from Queens College and he put himself through school, this is a true story, he's told it many times, as a truck driver. He came as a foreign exchange student, got a job driving a truck for Crystal Windows, which was founded by Thomas Chen, who's a benefactor of the art school, And he would take night classes, he'd drive his truck, look for parking. I've explained to him we actually frown upon you bringing a commercial truck and parking it and taking up the spaces for half those cars. But that's okay, we've forgiven him. And endowment means we never spend, I can't tell you how much because that's part of the arrangement. Let's just put it this way, it's in the millions. We never spend that money. We spend the income off the money. That's how it works legally. And that's enough that we can pay the majority of the business dean's salary. Carmen Cote, starting January 2nd, is the inaugural dean. And special shout out to Kate Pachenkin, the dean of social sciences, who they served as sort of the incubator for the business school. So if you're an accounting major or an economics major, you are going to graduate from the Queens College Business School. And that's all made possible by institutional advancement. They just reopened GERTS. If you're in the speech language pathology program, take a look at GERTS. Even if you're not in that program, it's a 7-year project. GERTS looks unbelievable. That was due to money that came in from the city and the state and from the JFEW, a longtime benefactor. This photo shows our annual gala that we have over in Manhattan for some of the strongest supporters. And the donations that are coming in, it's more than $10 million a year. Usually, by the way, Lori, the vice president, sometimes she says to me, don't talk too much about how much it is, because then someone's going to call her and say, where's my share? So most donors, like Frank Yu, have a specific project, like the business school, that they want to nurture, or a professor they want to honor. But we look at every priority that the institution has, and we try to guide our donors toward those. And that's part of alumni affairs as well. Most of our donors, not all, are alumni. So we cultivate alumni, and some of them, they're not that wealthy, and that's okay, because there are alumni we need to engage them too, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes someone's a school teacher, they don't have kids. When they pass away, they bequeath money to us. So tonight I'm going to the Guggenheim Museum for our 1937 Society. Those are people who've put us in their will. And sometimes it's a couple $1 million. In fact, if you look this up, don't believe anything I say, by the way. Always verify. You can Google this. Google, do dead people give more money than corporations? And you will see for higher education, bequest, that's the name for the gift from someone who dies in their will, that is more money from bequest than from corporate donors. That's how much it is, so that's why I'm headed to Guggenheim. We did events in Florida, we've done events with different fraternities, sororities, and houseplants, and we do events for the newer alumni, GOLD, graduates of the last decade, and we have professionals on campus. This shows two Franks. The one who's not me is the one who's the benefactor of the business school. And Lee Fensterstock, class of 68, he was a swimmer when he was here, headed up our foundation board. We also go to Albany. I get up there 5-6 times a year. Now, you probably don't know, there's no reason you should delve into it, but after the 1970s, the 4-year colleges of CUNY became primarily state-funded, just like the subway system. Now, we're proudly the City University of New York, but for the 4-year schools, we're very heavily state-funded. The 2-year schools continue to be very heavily city-funded. So I get up there, I see our city council members. I really want to thank Borough President Donovan Richards. If you see him, thank him. He has put in so much money. Our city council member, James Gennaro, has been earmarking more than $1 million a year, year in, year out, for us. And that's how we are able to build all these projects, and we've listened. Also, Assemblymember Nili Rozic, we're finally going to get the Akanchi spheres, you know, the ones that students like to sit in. Back in the day when they were built, some of you on the faculty might remember this, they lit up, all right? But over time, you know, just due to wear and tear, they don't light up anymore. They got to be cleaned up. We got $250,000 from Assemblywoman Nili Rozic for that. This is all part of government relations and our identity as a civic institution. We're more than a college. We are primarily a place where you come to study and learn and where research and creativity flourish. But we also work with so many community groups, whether it's our own Louis Armstrong House Museum, named a CIG, part of the Cultural Institutions Group of New York City, right up there with the Metropolitan Museum of Art. That is a spectacular. spectacular achievement. Jay Hershenson is the board chair, and to have achieved CIG status, that really means that that museum has arrived. If you haven't been over there, go take a look. Go on the tour of the historic house. It's fantastic. It's part of Queens College, the Louis Armstrong House Museum. But over at Colden Auditorium, we have events every single weekend for so many community groups. It could be Jewish, Muslim, Asian, immigrant, Italian Catholics. They have comedians. They have dance shows. So many rent that space, the largest auditorium in the entire borough, the world's borough. We also put together Queens Rising, a month-long free celebration of arts in June. Because you don't have to go over a bridge or through a tunnel to experience the best of culture in New York City. Let me turn now to student affairs. You know, we really need more student services. We need more counselors, whether it's academic or mental health. We need to do more to support disability services. And all this depends on getting that funding from those donors or from Albany or from the borough president or the city council. So there have been some changes over in student affairs and enrollment management, so capably led by Jennifer Jarvis, vice president. We're doing the Knights Table. For those of you who don't know, any CUNY student can get free food. And we don't want anyone to feel any shame. We don't want people to go hungry, because you're not going to succeed as a student if you're going hungry. We call it the Knights Table. It's a food pantry. It's the priority for Giving Tuesday. The foundation will do a dollar-for-dollar match for any private donation. So for faculty, staff, or even for students, if you have $5, you go online on Giving Tuesday, that's after Thanksgiving. If you put in $5, it becomes $10 magically, because the foundation will match it dollar for dollar. And they don't just do food. They do gently used clothing, their, you know, suits if you need one for an interview. They do some health products, and it's to help support the neediest. So you should only go if you have that need. But if you do, we're here for you. And during the pandemic, the most moving thing I did was to go out when we had a van that would take bags of food out to a few sites throughout Flushing to give away to our students. So the number one issue we face, people sometimes ask me, what's your priority? I have no problem explaining what it is. In one word, enrollment. Enrollment, 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 that's number one. Number two, number three on the list. We are a great institution. I love being here. This is my dream job. I want this to be your dream school for your student. We need your cousins here. We need not just your cousins, we need your parents coming to get a master's degree, even your grandparents. You know, age is no limitation. I was just in a meeting today where they were talking about how even though there are fewer and fewer young people, there are more and more older students returning. That can be through CUNY Reconnect. It can be to programs such as our World Language Institute, which teaches those who are changing careers. They already know the language. It could be Spanish. It could be Urdu. It could be Hebrew or Mandarin or Korean. And they want to be teachers. They need that teacher certificate. So World Language Institute, run by Jennifer Eddy, trains them. We've launched the Enrollment Growth Task Force. It meets in person every other week, and we really need to streamline the transfer process. So that's in terms of at the mechanical level, what we're looking to do. We want better relations. So can I just see a show of hands? How many of you transferred from somewhere else? Did any of you in this room transfer? All right, Vivek Kupadia, Jay Hershenson, and some of the students? All right, great, good. That's great to see. We need more of you. So tell all your friends we're still back. Wherever it was you transferred from, LaGuardia, QCC, all right, tell them to come here too, all right? And let me be clear, we welcome all. That includes immigrants, includes the children of immigrants. Let me be clear, it includes those who are undocumented. That is not easy. We have an immigrant success center, and I know some folks, they might take issue with that, but we are one-third immigrants among our undergraduate students. We are one-third the children of immigrants. That's two-thirds. This is important for us to do, and it's not just my say-so. This is the chancellor, the entire CUNY board. It's New York law, and we will do everything that we can. While also, I always have to explain, we have to comply with federal law, all right? So But within that, we will be advocates. We will stand strong and stand with immigrants. And also with veterans. We just celebrated Veterans Day. We are consistently rated a military-friendly school and a school good for military spouses. We have continued to do the hard work that we have to do to balance the budget. You know, some people, and when I was a professor, when I was a student, I didn't know this. You have to balance the budget. You cannot spend more money than you have. And our budget, for the most part, depends on our enrollment and the state subsidy. And if enrollment is down, the budget is down. And no one is going to help me out. So if I say, wait, enrollment's down, let me spend the same amount, the chancellor and the board are going to say, sorry, if enrollment is down, you have to figure out what to do. So we did announce this morning a temporary local hiring freeze. Sometimes people hear about something and out there on social media gets distorted. There is no reduction in force or anything like that. It's a hiring freeze as people naturally depart. We're going to be very strategic, very disciplined as we look at what roles to replace. We're going to look at those majors where there's growth, where you, the students, need and want and deserve more faculty. And we're going to be as student-centered as we can be. So as we do free up additional resources, we're going to target the hiring into those areas. For example, the registrar's office. Jomi George came on board about a year ago, and we need more colleagues there alongside him in the registrar's office. And when you complain, I want you to know, I hear you, and I know you're right. The registrar's office needs more staff. So to make that happen, I have to figure out, with the budget, how do I allocate more there? And I would never, to be very careful, we don't want anyone saying, hey, you're taking from me to put in more over there. So we're looking at, as people might leave, we don't replace over there in order to increase and augment our student services. The registrar's office is just one example. All right, facilities. I've mentioned a few of these. We have so many projects. We're unlike our friends in Manhattan. We're a horizontal campus. So some of my friends, my peers, who are presidents in the CUNY system, they don't have anyone mowing the grass. They don't have the grass. They don't need staff to mow the grass. We do. And so we have many of these projects. We have an interim assistant vice president, Denise McFarland, who I know is in the room. I want to thank her for her hard work. I've asked her to do something. Every time we begin a new capital project, we should sit down with all the occupants of the building, all the users of the building, just explain, here's what the plan is and here's where we're headed. In Delaney, for example, where there are huge upgrades that are going to benefit all the important programs that are over there, a historic building, one with such significance. In order to keep everyone safe, there's nobody in the building right now. Nobody will go back in the building until the work is done. We've tested twice already, that includes for asbestos, and we've gotten a clean bill of health. But I've committed to test again, including for asbestos. So I want people to know that the safety of our employees' health, it's really a priority. So the Delaney project is still going. It's expected to go all the way through the spring. We're going to move out of Casino Hall, which is, it's not even on our campus. That's a leased facility across the street, you know, right next to Gino's Pizzeria. And Assistant Vice President McFarland is working right now on how to relocate everyone from Casino in the best places that are optimal for what they do. We also have elevator replacements, window replacements, so many of these projects. I've just listed a few of them. So you can see boilers and chillers, things that we take for granted. But you know, when people talk about the heat or the humidity or the temperature in this room and the comfort level, that depends on this work. And it's so important to get done. Some of this takes years and years, and it takes millions. So we're grateful for the support of CUNY and from the city and the state. IT. So we continue to upgrade IT. We're going to do a big migration. For anyone who works here, there's going to be a big migration of all of the computer systems And it is such a massive project. We're finally going to leave CUNY First behind. And as you know, we've already migrated to Brightspace as our learning management system. IT is so important for everything that we do now. We will, once again, celebrate MLK Day. We always do that with a program, Sunday, before the holiday. It will be in the afternoon at 3 p.m. We co-sponsor it with the borough president, Donovan Richards. There he is again. We usually have entertainment and a substantive talk. Both those are important. We will recognize the 60th anniversary of the SEEK program, the Percy E. Sutton SEEK program, which is integral to our identity. We'll do Diversity Week again in April. That's led by Jerima DeWeese, our Chief Diversity Officer and Dean of Diversity. Note, we do have an A grade from the Anti-Defamation League. We're one of only 8 institutions in the United States to receive the A grade. And we're rolling out additional bias training and constructive dialogue programs. CERU has a new director, Iabo Oyeo-Hall. She's been putting on programs. If you have ideas for programs for Diversity Week, contact Jerima or Iabo. We're also the home of both ARI, the Asian American and Asian Research Institute, and the Calandra Institute for Italian American Studies, both leading programs, both state-funded. ARI is going to try to position itself, and I'm backing this, to be the premier think tank for everything related to Asian Americans on the entire East Coast. And Calandra is already there. They're the best program out there for anything related to Italian Americans. Both these are headed by deans, and they're over in Midtown Manhattan. And they serve all of CUNY, part of Queens College. I want to applaud the Knights. Go Knights! Our men's soccer team will be playing in the conference finals for the championship on Saturday. Men's and women's tennis consistently compete for championships. Our student athletes are just great. 275 of them, many of them resident in the Summit. We are proudly NCAA Division II. And we even have athletes who want to become Olympians and professionals in those sports. So just terrific to see that. We also had a dragon boat team for the very first time. The Knight Dragons and the women's team came in first. The co-ed team did incredibly well, second in the main race. That's for a rookie team. That's an amazing achievement. This is in August over in Flushing Meadows. So we were just thrilled to see that. I did get a little sunburned, but important to cheer them on. We had our baccalaureate in commencement. We just had academic excellence. That's Harris Horowitz. He received the President's Medal, a great program, plenty of food and mixing and mingling. Taruna Sadu leads honors and scholarships, and boy, she's just doing a great job ensuring the students in all those programs, such as Kessler, are well supported with a cohort model. And that's it. That's where we are. You know, this is, I'll be honest with you, a little bit of a crazy time in this world of ours, with everything happening on the face of the globe and down in Washington, D.C. But on our 83 acres, we've sustained a sense of community. And I want to end with what it says here. Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate that no matter what your background, we're bound together in the aspirations that we have, that Queens College empower each and every one of you, that for the faculty and staff, you can make careers here. People such as Andrew Hacker, who you'll see an announcement soon, at the age of 96, he's going to retire. He came here in 1971, having taught 16 years at other institutions. And he's still an adjunct right now in the political science department. At the age of 96, he's going to step down. He made his career here. If you don't know who he is, he's written dozens of books. He is nationally renowned. It's folks like that, and folks like all of you in this room, our students. That's what make this place my home. Someplace where when I walk into work from my apartment less than a mile away, I'm always glad in the morning. Even on a nippy winter day, I think, this is where I belong. So I'm grateful to each and every one of you. And if you didn't get a lapel pin from me, come see me afterward. I'll make sure you get a lapel pin. All right? Thank you so very much. I'm happy to take any questions. So, just raise your hand. All right, right here in the front. I'm sorry. Oh, yes. My apologies. You should use a mic. There are mics on the side. That's the standard protocol for the Senate. So, actually, let me ask the chair. That's how we should do it. People should
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do it the way you conduct business. I want to do this in an orderly way, following Robert's rules of order. Another big shout out to your parliamentarian. All right. So, please, feel free to line up the mics.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
My name is Dave Drottle. I'm a political science student at Queens College. I'm also part of the Student Association for... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'm part of the Student Association. I'm also part of the University Student Senate. I think my question to you, Franco, is in regards to actually paid internships.
Yeah.
I realized through the Career Center and also through the Political Science Department and students, they have came out to me personally, and they have gone to Blueprint 19 and Student Union, that there are barely any paid internships for, you know, political science students, urban studies, and history too. What can your college do to grant the funding for paid internships?
Yeah.
My second question to you is, when it comes to CUNY access points, I've actually have reached out to Keeney Paulette, who's actually the chairperson of the USS, and Daniel Redden. I've actually have worked on with multiple petitions, with the association, with the President John Rajkumar, with, you know, the petitions to improve the CUNY access points. Campus seats have been really expensive. I have spoken to many Queen's College students and mostly seniors with campus seats. I remember that in the dining hall where, like, you know, the Chinese young places, it used to cost $7. Now it increased to 15 based on what I heard. The taxes have been really high, and the quality is not really that good. And I basically have found out that the inspections are not really transparent. So how could we...
Right. Thank you, and congratulations to you, Dean. Dean will graduate at the age of 19. He's already lined up some internships working with elected officials, so that's just great. Let me answer the questions in order. So first, as to paid internships, we're working with the New York City Jobs Council. There are programs that Zavi Gunn, who heads the Career Services Office, that she runs. So you should chat with her, and we'll be sure to put you in touch with her. We need to raise more money from our donors for paid internships. So many of the alumni are eager to hire students at their corporations, their law firms, their accounting firms. But Zavi Gunn's office is the one who oversees that. You can also talk to Assistant Vice President Sean Pierce, who works with students. What I try to do is make sure that people get to the right offices, because I'm almost always, not the person who is the expert in the area. But I can tell you, Zavi and Sean are. With respect to facilities and operational issues, such as QC Campus Eats, I know that the Student Association President, Sean Rajkumar, has just had a meeting, a very productive meeting, face-to-face with our CFO, Joe Lochran, and Alina Akins, head of procurement, who oversee that, and they've arranged for him to speak directly with the head of QC Campus Eats. So there's a meeting, and if you speak to your president, Rajkumar, maybe you could join that meeting. They're going to talk about the food service we want to constantly improve. By the way, we are opening faculty and staff dining, big event on the 19th during the lunchtime period. Students are welcome with a faculty member or staff member, defined as any employee or as any alum in the faculty and staff dining. That'll be in what's called, I'm going to call it the piano lounge, what used to be the president's lounge. So I would refer you with respect to the internships to Zavi Gunn, and then on food service, the Student Association is actively working on this issue.
I was about to mention to you, with Zavi Gunn, I've reached out to her multiple times in regards to the internships itself. The main issue is, with the government shutdown, that has gone on for 40 days.
Yeah.
There was a program that not only she had referred to me, but also Professor Amy Sahib Chaudhary, who's actually my mentor. She's been a professor for 9 years and been in Queen's College since 2010 is a student herself. The issue is with the New York State Job Council, not an issue, but I think kind of a concern as a political science student, there is not a lot of opportunities for political science paid internships. Mm-hmm. parties. I reached out to Professor Reichel, Professor Sun, Professor Haney, and Putzik. With those internships, they're mostly volunteer. There are barely any incentives on behalf of, you know, Queens College itself. I kind of feel like with the business school, they kind of had to kind of cater more towards the businesses.
Right.
And with Queens College, historically, and this was a video I actually learned from Jay Purchase himself, we used to be the school that mainly focused on philanthropism. You know, we had, like, you know, protests in regards to the anti-war, anti-Vietnam, and with that, I just realized this pandemic, a lot of people have been really concerned about, like, you know, the lack of political discourse that has gone there. There's not a lot of political discussions. And in student association, I'm one of the only students that is actually a political science student that has that role. And as somebody that has actually converted to, you know, Islam as well, actually speaking later tonight, actually in regards to events, my personal concern is what can political science students do to really impart from that opportunity? Because there's lack of incentives on behalf of the college. The internships are usually around 3 credits, but they're unpaid.
Right.
And
right.
The businesses, accounting, finance, and non-secures, they have a lot of paid opportunities compared to our history. And even like people like theater. For me, I kind of felt like I had to find everything myself at the age of 17. I started off my time working with Congressman Swazi, Kamala Harris. Then recently, I made a field coordinator for Mayor Lexar Mondani. What I'm doing now as a police officer student, I'm on the brink of graduating at the age of 19. And I'm actually going to start a master's program at the Urban Affairs. My kind of concern is,
Well, you're right about all this, and the federal shutdown didn't help anything. We need to work together on how the economy is structured and the market. As your college president, I'm an advocate for you for every student in every major. But I'll be honest with you, I can't single-handedly fix the government shutdown, and I can't make the city or the state do something that the city or the state doesn't want. But I'm like you. I'm an advocate, and I'm with you, and I'm counting on your support when we lobby. You know who's more effective than I am in Albany? You. Because you're a constituent, and if you rally other students and they see you and they know that you have entire families and communities behind you, that's what is effective. So we can work together on this, and we will. For the immediate needs, let me chat a little bit more with Zavi and Sean and the others to see what we can do. We have to, together, just change the way society is. And maybe 25 years from now, when you've made enough that you could pay it forward, you'll help set up a fund here for internships for students of 2050. So thank you for the question. Do we have any others? Yes, yes, if you might want to take the mic.
Hello, hi, my name is Adolf Barz, and this is a professor in the Department of History. As you mentioned, one of our comparative advantages is that we are a different kind of campus. We're not as vertical or horizontal. That means that we used to have a lot of parking for students, but for many years now, the parking lot behind our Roosevelt Library.
Sorry, one more.
Is it like in like a paper version of that, Jim?
Oh, you have to ask your chair. Yeah, that's the chair. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a question about student parking.
Yeah, let me rephrase. So one of our comparative advantages is that we have different kind of campuses, and one of the components of that is that we used to have a lot of parking for students who commute, and chose Queens College because they could park here. But for many years now, the parking lot behind Roosevelt Library hasn't been usable, at least the second floor of that parking lot. That means that students often complain that they don't have parking and have to park outside.
Right.
Meters. Shouldn't we prioritize that? Because that is one of our comparative advantages.
Right.
Given that we are focused on enrollment, I think that should be a
Thank you. Yeah. We're very concerned about transit access. Let me see if Assistant Vice President McFarland might want to wander on down here to talk a little bit about our plans. Let me mention two things. This is the parking deck. We put, as I mentioned, safety first. We're concerned about the structure, and we don't want people using a deck. If there's any concern at all, please, don't worry. It's fine, but just to be cautious. What we did was we restricted access, as you've mentioned, to that deck shortly after the pandemic. And we are working on this, and Vice President McFarland will tell you a little bit more. We depend on the city and the state for the funding. So we're always out there looking for this funding. You can help us advocate. If you live in Queens, talk to whoever your assembly member is, your city council member. We've also been working on the buses. There's a brand new express bus from Queensborough Community College to Queens College. We did a video with the president of QCC and the borough president. You can look at it on YouTube. People have said, I've never seen so many happy people on a New York City bus. And it's an express, 20 minutes, and you're here from one campus to the other. So we are looking at everything we can do, including mobility through the rental bicycles. We put in e-bike charging. By the way, if you don't know this, free charging outside. It's got to be outside. Just outside of Kylie, it's covered, so you can ride a bicycle and plug right in. So I'll ask Assistant Vice President McFarland to speak to the parking deck plans.
So specifically for that project has been in design for the last 3-4 years. It is expected to go out for bid next spring with expected construction during the summer of 2026. So hopefully we have all the funding secured because that's going to allow us to have the construction project started. But the schedule right now is.
So thank you. I have to excuse myself. I'll pass the microphone back over to your chair. As I mentioned, I'm headed to the Guggenheim. I'm going to see some of our benefactors, those who have put us in their will, and I will mention to them internships and the parking structure.
Can I ask one question really
quickly?
Sure. Hi, President Wu. I'm Karen Weinberg, and I'm a professor in English, and I have two questions, actually,
okay.
But one of them is, earlier this semester, I don't know if the students are aware, I'm also director of Women and Gender Studies, so mm-hmm. those of us who are chairs and directors were given a mandate that all classes had to enroll to 85% or they would be canceled. And I think a lot of us felt like, wow, that is not good for enrollment. It means that a class with a cap of 30 students would be canceled mm-hmm. if it didn't have 22 students in it. And as I'm sure students know, like when you're trying to enroll in classes and they get canceled every last minute, it's not great. We were told that this was a mandate from CUNY Central.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, my chair told me that in a meeting with the interim university provost, Luis Calvero, the chairs were told this is not a mandate at all, it's just a general guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Classes that are not at 85% can still run, a department or program feels like it's important. So I'm wondering if you could speak to this mandate and whether it's no longer going to be enforced after that conversation. And the second question was, I was a little bit, you kind of mentioned this in passing, that CUNY First was going to disappear, and it was really my first time hearing this. So,
yeah, I should be more precise. Workday is going to be rolled out. It will use many of the it will replace many of the functions of CUNY First.
Students will still enroll using CUNY First into classes.
That's right. So actually, let me be sure so that I don't compound the error. Workday is going to be the new system that's used for employees for that aspect. So much of CUNY First will be phased out, but this is going to take years. I think the provost was going to address the other question. Yeah, she's coming to the microphone. I want to thank the provost. She's the chief academic officer, so I would never call myself this because this is corporate, but I'm the chief executive officer. I'm responsible for everything, ultimately, and I take responsibility. But I work with a cabinet, and Patricia Price has been with us for 4 years now. She's the chief academic officer. That's what a provost is. So she's the number two officer of the institution, reports to me. We're a team. And most of the academic operation is delegated to her because she's much smarter than I am. So she's going to answer this question for you.
Can I So you asked about the 85% section fill rate, which is a new metric for section liability. So this is really pertinent to department chairs and program directors because you're really on first with enrollment management. Particularly when your courses are filling up, it's important to be able to determine what is a healthy size section and what is perhaps an under-enrolled section. We've been really focusing on making sure that the sections that we move forward with are enrolled enough to be a good utilization of our space and our staffing. So CUNY has, as a system, recently moved towards using our CourseDog software to its full capability, and one of its capabilities is predictive analytics around section enrollment management, which is really actually very cool. You have access to CourseDog, those of you who are chairs or on-person scheduling in your departments. You can go to CourseDog and see how your sections are doing in terms of their fill rate. So it's really helpful to have that information as the sections are filling up. So it's a lot more real-time, fine-grained data than the previous metric for section liability that we had, which was minimum thresholds. So what I've been encouraging chairs to do, and I just met with P&B budget committee members earlier this week, what we've been encouraging chairs to do is look at your course inventory as a portfolio. So if you're a chair that wants to run some smaller sections, that's great, that's fine. You would need to ensure that you have other sections that are larger in absolute terms. So viewing your courses as a portfolio gives you more discretion as a chair or a program director to do what's right for your students and your program. So the idea that we would cancel a section that has not filled the 85% threshold would be really the bureaucracy driving things in an inappropriate way. So I encourage chairs, and I'll encourage you as program director, to make an informed judgment about whether or not the section should move forward. We don't want you to have a program or a department that's full of sections that are not coming near their enrollment goals. But you'll have some that are over, some that are under. So EBC Alero is correct in saying it's a goal, but it's not a hard goal. As an institution, we have an overall section fill rate of just over 86%. So we're doing pretty well.
All right, thank you again. Many thanks to the provost.
Can I ask a question?
Just a little bit.
Sure.
My name is Shimon Hawk. I would like to ask a question about departments of graduations because I don't believe it was ever made aware to students that departments of graduations, the money would be cut for that. And I wanted to ask, what was the plan for that? What was the plan
sure.
to the students? And the
sure.
And
sure.
Back,
yeah.
And the English department, I believe, will also be taking care of their own departmental graduation planning. And don't you really allow that?
Right, yeah. I'm so proud of the English department. You know, I want to thank everyone who's in English. More generally, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to ensure that every program, every department, appropriately budgets for and funds its activities. Nothing has been banned. We love our students. We love these activities. We love celebrating with students. It turns out that there was a little bit of unfairness. Some programs, for historical reasons, were getting some funding, a subsidy, and no one had looked at this, a subsidy from my office. So all we've done is we've said, please, let's try to have the programs the same week if possible so that families traveling from abroad or parents taking a day off from work, they don't have to take 2 days off, you know, 3 weeks apart. If we can have them the Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday after Memorial Day, and the best of all is the Thursday afternoon right after the main commencement, because we also want the main commencement to be what it is, the main commencement, and to ensure that there's equality among the departments and to have some discipline about the budget. So I expect probably 90% of the programs that were put on to continue to be put on. And kudos to the English department. I'm glad that they were able to put together the program. They are, of course, part of Queens College. Many of the departments have privately donated philanthropic funds that we hope that they will turn to for these ceremonies. There's about a half dozen that were being subsidized by the president's office. So if anyone has told you that the commencement ceremonies have been banned, you can help me out by explaining that's just not so. They will continue. They're just being budgeted for in an appropriate manner by the department. Dean, did you want to?
Yeah, pardon me. One final question.
Yeah.
Given the ongoing issues students are facing with slow and unreliable Wi-Fi across the campus,
yeah.
What immediate steps can the college take to improve internet access so students can learn effectively?
Yeah, so I don't want to ask the assistant vice president to come back, but I can say we do have funding for a massive Wi-Fi upgrade that's going to take a few years. State Senator John Liu, so if any of you is a constituent of his and we sit in his district, arranged for $2 million of funding. I think, I don't want to misstate this, I think it's about a $15, $16 million project that will take multiple years, but we have at least $2 million in hand. It will be phased in. So it's being actively worked on. Let's see, I don't see our Vice President for Finance Administration, Troy Hahn, isn't here. We rolled out dozens of additional hotspots, so you should see improvements already in some places, including over the summit. But that is something that we are well aware. I see you're shaking your head. No, we're working on it. We just have got to get the funding.
Okay? Yeah, Me and Sean, we have worked on this. I'm actually reaching out to the team in regards to the student access points all across the choices campuses.
Yeah.
This has been an issue
going on
for the past decade. Yep. Something I realized with access points with the routers, they're mostly located in Highly Hall, SUNY Union, but even then, not only are they very small, but it's caused a lot of...
So, let's follow up on this, and I'll see if the Vice President for Finance Administration, Troy Hahn, who oversees tech and comes out of the tech background, if he could come visit with you and specifically talk and show you some of the plans, okay? So we'll do that at a later Senate meeting. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I see your former chair is getting up to ask the fifth last question that's being added on that's preventing me from seeing the donors to get the money for all these things.
No, 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 no. We don't do that. I got class in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Just to kind of follow up on that as well, you alluded to the email that we got this morning from Troy.
Yeah.
And I forget his title, Vice President of
Finance Administration.
And it was surprising to see an email from them about workforce production and not hiring. Troy's the guy that was associated with technology. So I'm just wondering. Question
is
sort of general.
Oh, there was an announcement about 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is subject to board approval. Troy Hahn, and it's so important to foster development from within, has been named Vice President of Finance Administration,
there's
subject
more of a comment
to
than
board
approval.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of people in my professional life that are wearing multiple hats.
Yeah.
So he's doing internet stuff, and
so
finance, my dean is also
the tech will fall under him as VPFA, and under the CUNY rules, we've already started the search for the permanent vice president for finance administration. Once that's settled, then we will have to do a search for a permanent new CIO. So this all has to be phased. But there was an announcement, I want to say 3 weeks ago. Again, every one of these announcements subject to CUNY board approval. So he, as of whenever the date of that was, has become the interim VPFA. All right? So thanks again. I will bring all these concerns to our most generous benefactors who put us in their way. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go to committee reports now. We'd like to hear from the UCC chair.
Computer Science and Chair of the Curriculum Committee. I'd like to move the minutes of the October 9th, 2025 adjustments we are withdrawing item 6 from these minutes today that had to do with the change of the history major and the renumbering of the history.
Right, so item 6 is being withdrawn. Are there any objections?
Got it.
All right, hearing no objection to the motion, I move for unanimous consent.
Changes to the numbers in history are premature. There's a working group now looking at the numbering of courses throughout the college. And we didn't want to have the work done twice in case they didn't follow the guidelines that are to come.
Graduate curriculum.
All right, we're going to move to the graduate curriculum committee.
Sorry, information. Can you show us where in the minutes that's not being included?
Six.
You said? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the changes in history.
Plans sanctioned.
that we're in agreement that we want four digits in our course numbers. Because I know, like, some departments, psychology, for example, you have a five-digit course numbering protocol. Do we want four digits? Do we want five digits? This is a faculty, it sounds very
good, but
this is a faculty
this is no longer on the floor, so
matter. It's a curriculum matter that I think we should have a shared understanding on before we proceed.
Oh, was the curriculum committee is going to work this out with the provost?
Should be thinking of course numbering and architecture in different programs and putting those changes through for approval. I have a tab on my website called Initiatives. It has a drop down, and you can look at course renumbering the project. You want more information on this, but we have four departments that have agreed to pilot this work. So secondary education and youth services and education history. In social sciences, in European languages and literatures, in arts and humanities, and chemistry, and biochemistry, and math and natural sciences. You each have a faculty representative designated for this work, and you are underway in terms of thinking about what does this look like for the broader institution, so that departments like history can slot into confidently a protocol that makes sense for everybody.
Okay, well this will be worked out by your office and the curriculum committees then. And it sounds like, right, this is an ongoing process. Yeah.
I'm a person from English. I created them. You said the importance of that work. I do wonder if
this isn't on the floor anymore. We've already moved to the graduate curriculum committee.
Right.
So.
Dave, biology and the chair of GCC. I move unanimous consent to approve the minutes of May 2nd.
Any objections?
Are there any objections?
Wasn't there an objection to the UCC?
Oh. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, David. All right, so there are no objections, right? So here are no objections. The motion is moved. I move for unanimous consent. Now we're doing the nominating committee report.
Tina McGowan, psychology, and from the nominating committee, I move to the report dated November 13th with one change, the removal of Bill Orchard's renewal application to the GCC.
All right, are there any objections to this amended report?
Seeing none, it's approved.
So, being no objections, this is approved by acclamation. Now, the honorary degrees report.
I am the chair of the subcommittee on honorary degrees, and my colleague is here, also a member of the committee. This committee's responsibility is to nominate a potential candidate to the academic senate, to you, people who receive the honorary degree that we believe they have respected or not the national recognition that they deserve on recognition during the commencement and receive an honorary degree. This year, the committee, which also includes students, we are nominating two great candidates to you. The first one is Dr. Lucy Freeman Sandler. She happened to graduate from Queen College from the Art School, and she went around to be a phenomenal art in European history and phenomenal in her constitutions. She also contributed to Queen College after graduating 2 years, and I would like to recognize her. And you have information of her, the information that you received from the Academic Senate. So I would like to seek unanimous consent to recommend Lucy Freeman Sandler for the conference of honorary degree. The second person is Mary Maynard Daly. And this is what I am reading, I'm just summarizing because you have the information already. What I'm summarizing is already stated there in detail. So, the second person is Mary Freeman Daly. She was our student, and she we would like to give her an honorary postmortem. She died in 2003, but she was the first woman who received a degree in PhD chemistry. She started her education here, and then she moved on to be a professor at Columbia University, and she received many honorary recognitions, and she would ask to contribute to Greek College and donation to Greek College, and she represents, like the previous one, the values and beliefs that our students here are looking for, the values that we represent. And again, I ask for unanimous consent for Mary Denman Daly and for Lucy Freeman Sandler.
Are there any objections? All right, these nominations pass by acclamation.
Acclamation, right.
All right, new business. We're going to consider the resolution opposing the Federal Compact for Academic Excellence in Higher Education.
Professor Bill Anthropology. I'm representing actually the UFS senators. We wrote this resolution, as John said, opposing the Federal Compact for Academic Excellence in Higher Education. I pass out copies to all the senators. There's also the packet that we emailed out. I move for unanimous consent to adopt this resolution.
Are there any objections?
Seeing none, it's approved.
All right, the resolution is approved. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Fifth attorney objection.
Are there any objections?
Can I hear the
all right.
We're adjourned.
I was going to speak earlier, but the president didn't stick around long enough. I just wanted to note that in the past, we've had tested twice, including for asbestos, and received a clean bill of health in the Lady Hall. However, the most recent testing that they did, from the report on the website, said surface samples were positive for silica dust on windowsills and desks in room 129, suggesting dust infiltration from ongoing exterior to software.
She said no asbestos, not dust.
So she was being exposed to these particulates before she moved out. Additionally, it found higher levels that were not within regulatory levels of dust in the area of the third floor hallway where construction was taking place. I think this is important to point out because when it's stated out loud that it was a clean bill of health, it is actually not accurate. And second of all, people are actually sick right now from being in this building during periods where they were told that it was safe to be in there. And the reason that they moved out was because of their own self-advocacy and not because anyone advocated and I'm glad the testing will be done before they move back in. However, in the meantime, due to the mismanagement and the health issues this has caused, the PSC with residents of Delaney Hall have done a grievance, and the hearing for that is on this Monday, the 17th, and there's going to be a rally. We're going to meet at the flagpole at 12:30 on Monday, the 17th, so if you want to show solidarity with workers and professors and staff that serve so well the community of Queens College, please meet us there on Monday. Thank you.
All right, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, so moved. Thank you.
Got through it.